Eternal God, creator of heaven and earth, giver, sustainer of life, we come and thank you and glorify you for this, the Sabbath day. And this is our second session, Father, that you will help us to know and understand your word, to live by it, walk by it, and to understand it. Open up, Father, the eyes and the ears and our heart and our mind to your word. It may be sometimes hard and sometimes easy. And Father, we do not know, but you know who and what it will take for all of us to know and understand your word. The time is coming to a conclusion. And Father, help us to see your mercy, help us to see your understanding, and also help us to see your judgment. We pray you in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Okay, we are in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. Now, last week we ended on Genesis 4, verse 7. And that particular had to do with, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou dost not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee his desires, and unto thee shall rule over him. I went through that one, a little bit of clarification last week. So I want to kind of rebrief it really quickly so that we can have another beginning of where now something's going to take place. And I'd like for you to listen carefully. Not because I think I got the word. I'm thinking I want you to hear what I had to say because sometimes I'm confused. Many of you know by now, I do look at the book of Genesis not as historical factor, though it is. I look at it and see what is it telling us from beneath. I'm a strong person who believes precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So I lift up what I see written, and then I find out, is there anything else there that God has in mind for us to see? I hope that today we'll go through some things. But first I want to go and back up again here on verse 7. And last week I said, what was Cain's sin? Where did sin enter in? Where did sin enter in? Was Cain to rule by sin? Or was Cain to rule over sin? All right, we talked about that last week. Do you remember? Now, I'm not going to go back and repeat everything I said, but I want to make this statement. What is a door? A door is an entryway. Is it not? It's an entryway into your life. Cain chose sin to enter in and not the will of God. He chose it. It wasn't something that snuck up on him. It wasn't something that was, oh, I didn't know what I was doing. Because God told in the very beginning, if you did well, I would have accepted what you offered. But sin lies at the door. That wasn't the offering that was a sin, in my personal opinion. It was, you've opened up the door and you've welcomed it in. And now you want to rule it, meaning you like the pleasure of the sin. Sin is a pleasurable thing, yes.
We were talking about that last week, and here you have this perfect family, this perfect place, no other influences at this point like we have today, and yet the first out kid turns evil with no history to go back and look at, well, this is what's happened, you know, when this person made these evil choices and everything. So they didn't have a history to do that, but even so, how he already bought the lie from Satan, basically bought into that lies that came into his head, and he chose to do evil right out the chute as an adult.
As an adult, not a child.
Right.
And that's very important. And what we're looking at here, we're going to look at Cain because it's important to know, and we have to have eyes. Daniel will probably someday explain more in detail about the menorah. In fact, I asked him if he could do it, and he says he'll have to suspend what he's doing to explain the menorah. But I think he's got some very fascinating things that we can learn from it. Other than that, we have to look at things how God sees things and not how we see things. Now, when we first read about the offering, okay, now, an awful lot of opinions in between what it is, but God saw something, and he saw that sin lies at the door. Now, Abel didn't see sin lying at the door, and it would appear that Adam and Eve didn't see sin lying at the door, that is, at Cain's door, but God saw it. And we talked about that last week. Now let's go to verse 8. A very fascinating phrase. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, before I continue on with this, what do you see in this verse? What is it you have been told, or what is it you have thought it meant? Not that your thinking is wrong. Okay, my wife has taken Psalms 45, right? Learn to walk all the way around the thing and see different points of views. Not my point, your point, that as God shows us through, I see something. Oh, that's interesting. He sees this. Are they both wrong or they're both right? Well, through the eyes of God, they're both right. There's at least 7 different directions to see the truth. That's why the menorah is the menorah. All right? So, my question, yeah.
It's funny that you're saying there's 7 different directions, because there's actually, when they're creating these movies, these like Pixar cartoon movies, one of the first ones that they made, the fish story, the little
Nemo,
Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They had 7 different angles of light. They said it was because of those 7 different angles of light they were using, it looked too real. So they took out 2 angles, and it brought it back down to what we know it as today, which is 5 angles of light. So it's just amazing. The 7 angles of light that they showed, they said it was almost undecipherably real from what it really is. And that just reminded me that when you were saying it was 7 different angles, there must be some significance there.
Yeah.
In the number, of course.
That's fascinating, yeah. Quite a number, of course. Yes.
Another thing is I've gone to some training for disaster training, and in a dark place, say that there's been an earthquake and someone falls, they say, just because you don't see someone with your flashlight in one place, move to the next angle and look again, you know, so that you're in like a triangle looking in into the area, because things have fallen down and there's no way to see the tunnels that are made underneath objects unless you move about.
Yeah.
Did you say that was in the Psalms?
48. I thought she said 45. 48. All right, so let's talk about this thing. In verse 8, 2 events took place. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
What was the first event?
They talked.
Who?
They talked.
No. Read it again.
Cain talked with his brother.
Cain talked to Abel. He wasn't talking in conversation. He went to tell Cain something. Now, what do you think he went to talk to him about? What do you think he went to tell? There was not a conversation between the two. Just a statement that all we have is not the words of Abel.
No.
All we have is, this is the recorded word of God. God is saying Cain talked. What did he talk about? What do you think he talked about? Sorry, what?
His displeasure. He talked about his displeasure with his brother.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Oh, this is open, people. You can say, well, I think he talked about this. I think he talked about that. I think he said this to his brother. Okay.
Major, he was accusing him of being self-righteous.
Okay. We're getting close to the word, but not quite. Cain talked to Abel, which is not stated, just what he said. First, that middle part is the second beginning of this, sometime later. Now, sometimes in our world, we think, oh, he went and talked to Abel. And then, you know, sometime later, he and Abel, like the next day, went out in the field. But it doesn't tell you that, does it? When the Bible uses and uses that phrase, sometime later, it doesn't mean tomorrow. It can be a year, 2 years, several years later, or several months later. It's not recorded. So I want you to put, the first thing we know is that Cain went and talked to Abel. Now, we don't know what he said, but we can see the actions of Abel, which brought about his death. All right? You know what I'm saying? We'll get there in a minute. Because Abel was killed for a reason. And yes, he could have been killed because Cain was jealous. Or he could have been killed because Cain was favored by God. But that's not what God said. He said to Cain, what? If you do well, it will be accepted. Okay? So all we know is the actions of Abel were, he does what is well, therefore he's accepted. So the actions of Abel, in a sense, caused his death. All right? Have you ever think about that for a moment? But that's the truth. Now, we'll get a little farther about Abel later on. But when we see this action, so what, he went and talked with Abel. I don't think he's talking to him about anything else except, well, we'll get there. Hold your thoughts. Okay. Now, as it came to pass, and we don't know how long a period of time, and then as Cain and Abel were together again. That's what that statement says, right? Look, it says, came to pass when they were in the field. Now, so now they're out there in the field. Why were they out there in the field?
They're working.
Any other thoughts?
It doesn't say.
So what?
It doesn't say.
Well, we'll find out. It does. Carefully how it works. Good fight. Yes.
And that where he drew his cross. That's where he presented.
Or it's where Abel's doing his herd. That word field could either be crop, or it can be for the raising of the cattle or whatever Abel did for a living. All right. Now let's continue on here. Now just stop and think for a moment. If you are going to do something like Adam and Eve did, are they going to do it in the presence, in the face of God? Or do they wait and God wasn't there, and then they decided to partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Always.
Always what?
Wait till you're alone.
Wait until you're alone. No witnesses, no eyes, no one saw this. They were out there that nobody could prove. And there he was. His goal was to go out there where Abel was, in my personal opinion. Not where Cain. Abel didn't go where Cain was. Cain went where Abel was, in Abel's field. And he did for one reason. Premeditated murder. He didn't just dislike his brother. He literally hated his brother because of what his brother was doing. You understand what I'm saying? It's just not a story of the first murderer. It's the actions that brought about this thing. Now, remember what the Lord said? Sin lies at the door. Sometime later, so now this door's, he's not only, he's out of wide open, the door of Abel was the door of sin. Now, he didn't have this confusion about who is God. We'll get to that point. He knew exactly who he was.
Was it the door?
And it's very, very hard thing for Cain, but nonetheless, this is what took place. All right. And he rose up who slew him. So his object was to kill Abel. Not because he was jealous. He actually hated him for the deeds that Abel was doing. And the deeds that Abel was doing was, well, good. Yes?
Envy can turn to hatred.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying at this point in time, it is hatred. Hatred because they acts. Because the very thing in the very seventh verse tells you it's the acts. What you're doing. All right? It's the actions, not the sacrifices, not what brought before God. And though it could have been Tammy said last week, it doesn't say the first of the ground. It just says of the ground, fruit of the ground. And in Abel, it was the first of the fruit. First of the first. Which, you know, it's, why would he do this? Well, okay, he wanted the best. So, you know, of him by himself, that's what he wanted. And that was a sin, of him by itself, if that is the case. Dan, we don't know for sure. But I heard this same story. Sorry, I wrote in my notes, because it's a fascinating way to look at things. Am I going too fast? All right. It would seem that Cain had to say to Abel, whatever it was, and how Abel responded brought about Cain's anger. Now, Abel did something. Don't know what he said. So when Cain went out there to talk with him, I don't think, okay, this is my personal opinion, this is Richard's personal opinion, I don't think Abel was saying, well, Cain, you know, this is what we need to do. Cain, you need to, you know, walk this way, repent. I don't think he told him that. I think Cain told him bold-faced truth. I mean, Abel told him bold-faced truth. Exactly what Elohim said. You prefer to sin, go against him at all costs, regardless of the outcome. You want it all? And the Lord said, you don't do well. Or whatever. But the sin lies at the door. When that means it lies at the door, it didn't mean, oh, I got to close it quick. No, it lies at the door. Well, hello, come on in. That's the statement that the Messiah, and the creator of heaven and earth, was saying to Cain, is that you opened it up and you let it come in. Yes?
I just want to say, Richard, you've got a juxtaposition which backs up what you said of two words, crouching and rising.
Great. That's
Sin was crouching, Cain rose up.
Yeah, the word rise up is very fascinating in Hebrew. Okay?
Yeah.
Either you're sitting down and you have to rise up on your feet to do something, or you're laying down and you have to rise up to do something. But he rose up. Whether he was sitting or standing, or even spiritually speaking, we don't know, to do one thing. To commit murder. Mm-hmm. Now, did he know? Of course he knew.
Yep.
He'd know if he slew his brother would be dead. Yes.
There's actually seven phases of anger. Hatred is the very last one. And the Bible also says, if you hate your brother, you are a murderer.
Yes.
At that seventh phase of anger, undealt with, and that's where we also get the point going to postal.
Right.
We're familiar with, you know, a guy coming in and just mowing somebody down with a gun. That is a part of the seventh phase where they have gone through all everything. They've blown through the checkpoints. They haven't taken care of things. And they've gone to the extreme end of anger, which is hatred, which at that point in time, you have everything intact and ready to go to murder.
This is why it says a process of time. Okay, it wasn't like overnight.
Yeah.
No, it takes a long time to get
there. Takes a long time to build up to that, yes.
Because doesn't the Apostle Paul say, and sin when it is full-blown brings death.
Death.
Which is what murder is anyway, isn't it? I mean, either way, the end result of sin is death.
Okay, remember what I said last week about sin, right? This case was Cain, it wasn't a hidden one. It was a deliberate one. Okay, it's not like he was caught unawares.
No.
We'll get to this more in detail. Yes.
Question is, Do you think that Abel heard God speak to Cain and say, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?
I don't know. I would not assume so, because when God talks to a person one-to-one, that's who hears it. That's what he wants them to hear. He wasn't telling Abel, by the way, oh, Abel, I'm telling something to your brother, and you record it. No.
Nope.
He's talking to Cain, specifically. Now, this is telling Cain privately, because that's how God works, right? Telling you privately to come out of it, telling you privately to move your thinking. He's not broadcasting it, okay?
No, but when you say then Abel...
Now, who do you think recorded this?
Moses.
I'll tell you who recorded, yes.
Cain would have written it down.
Cain would have had to write it down himself.
Oh.
You couldn't get this information from anybody else except Cain. And we find out in this chapter, a fourth chapter, we're talking about Cain and his actions, his deed, his thought, his heart, his mind. Who would have never known what he thought? Who would have known what he said? Unless he wrote it down himself. We'll get to that point why I think he wrote it down. We'll get there. Yes.
He didn't have to hear what God said to Cain. It was all over Cain's
Abel.
Face. No,
right.
No,
Abel
didn't
have
it.
Right.
And for his stand,
because his countenance collapsed.
Whatever he said to Cain bought him the comment in Matthew 23:35, from the blood of righteous Abel.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, you're taking it away from me already.
Okay.
You're taking it away from me already. All right, it's already ahead of me. All right, so we'll go home. Call it quits.
Sorry.
Well.
I'm sorry.
That's a blessing, actually, that we would know.
Okay, now I'm reading this to answer your thought. It would seem that Cain had to say to Abel and how Abel responded brought about Cain's anger against Abel. This is my thinking, okay? More than likely, it was over what God said to Cain about sin lying at your door. I think Cain had to tell Abel what God said to him. And Cain didn't like Abel because his will, what he was doing well, was pleasing to God. Actions, and actions. God accepts the first fruit of any tree. In fact, he commands it. And the ground, the grain, that's what he wants. If that's what you have, this is what he blessed you with, that's what you should give to God back to him. But to give of the first of the crop, the first of the harvest, you give that to him, and all that other stuff that God has required for someone who is a, quote, a farmer, end of quote. Okay? But let's get back here now. Cain chose not to close that door. That's what you have to kind of put in mind here. That's why he killed his brother. His brother didn't open the door. Now, what was his brother's conduct? Now, I know they said something. Verse 9. That's a very... Look at verse 9 for a moment. Just verse 9 for a moment. And now, Elohim, or Yahweh, came and said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, you know, Christians all over the world know what that means, right? Fascinating. Do you know what keeper means?
Babysitter.
I'm sorry, what?
Babysitter.
Okay.
Why?
Yes?
I was saying, tell us.
Why?
That's a fascinating word. Okay, all you guys got your Hebrew Bible out there, reading in Hebrew, reading five, what the definition means, and you guys are going to beat me to the punch before I say it, right? Okay, it comes from a verb, of course, means to hedge about, to guard, to protect. That's what a keeper, we'll get more in detail of it, but we're talking the verb form now, not the noun form. The verb form means to protect, to hedge around. Now, what was Cain?
The oldest.
The firstborn. What's the function of the firstborn? Oh, wow. See, now he was not even in that world. You right?
Uh-oh.
So you see, even from the very beginning, when soon as he said that, then God got at him. Then God knew. Then God said, oh, but we'll get to that later. But you understand the function of the firstborn? Mm-hmm. It's the first strength. It's the first one. The responsibility of the firstborn is greater than the ones that come later. That's the reason why the Messiah, who is the firstborn, his functions and responsibilities will always be greater, more important, and greater significance than anybody else that comes on the scene after him. Right? We know that. And a big brother's supposed to do something. Guard, protect, and hedge. All right? So we keep these things in mind when you go with that word. I want to read a few things here about this first. We know this. I'm just going to read. You don't have to go there. But I'm going to read out a few scriptures here. In Genesis chapter 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to, here's that word, keep it. So he was to be a keeper, right? He's supposed to hedge it, protect it, and what?
Keep it.
I'm sorry, what?
Keep it.
Protect it. It's his function, yes.
So in other words, even if Cain had not killed Abel, God probably would have somewhat held him responsible if Abel had died some other way.
Correct. But no one was out after a capable life except Cain. All right. So now we go on that one. And chapter 3, verse 24, you don't have to go there. So he drove out the man, and he placed in the east of the garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned away every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. Protect it. Put a hedge around it. Guard it. That's what the angel does, right? And we know what that means, you know. To the point of death, it could kill somebody. In the tree of garden. All right. But I want to go down a little farther here to a very interesting thing. It's Psalms. Well, put it this way. We'll go to Psalm 37, chapter 34. Psalm 37, verse 34. Don't have to go there. I'll just read it. Wait upon the Lord and keep his way. All right. So that means you're responsible, I'm responsible, and Cain was responsible, right, to keep what? That's right, his way. But Cain didn't. He opened up the door. What did Abel do? Abel kept it. All right. Now, we'll go a few places. Let's go to Psalms 125, verse 1. 127, verse 1. I want you all to turn there in that case. Psalms 127. Psalms 127, verse 1. This is the Song of Solomon. This is the one we all know. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watch in vain. Right? Well, in Hebrew, it says, unless the Lord keeps the city, the keepers keep it in vain. Watchmen are keepers. Now you say, I'm a watchman. Well, what does that mean? You got to keep something. You're a keeper of something. And as read previously before, you are to keep the ways of God. That's our function in life. That's why we are here. We're walking. And every part of our life, every beating of our life, is to keep the way of the Lord. Keep the way. Keep His pattern. Keep His thought. Go back to His Word over and over again. Preserve it. Don't throw it away. Don't disregard it. Don't add or take away. Right? So we have to learn to keep. Keep it holy. Keep it pure. Keep it upright. And we find that in our minds, what David has said, if there's any evil in me, let me know. Because I want to get rid of it. Purge it from me. And so when you read the Word of God, and you hear the Word of God, then something's going to happen to you. You're going to find an error. And what are you going to do with it? Well, you purge it from your life, right? You get rid of it. Even if it's going to cost you an awful lot. It may cost you money. It may cost you home. It may cost you job. And what the Messiah said, it can cost you your in-laws. It can cost you your son. It can cost you your daughter. It can cost you your father. It can cost you your mother. Those are pretty heavy keepers, aren't they? So a keeper really is not just someone who says, oh, I keep the commandments of God. No, you have to institute them, establish them. Are you going to win? Well, with God, yes. Let me ask you a question. Did Abel keep them?
Yes.
What did it cost him?
His life. So did Yeshua.
Right. All right. We'll get to Yeshua in a minute. We're not there yet. You're jumping ahead of me again. You guys are way ahead of me. I should just go home. Forget about it. All right. Isaiah 21:11. Isaiah 21, this has to do with the burden of Duram. He called me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? And the watchman said, morning comes, and also the night. If you will inquire ye, turn and come. Now what it says here is, keeper, what of the night? Keeper, what of the night? And the keeper says, it tells you, you got to do an awful lot of things, don't you? And the word notes ring. That's not what that actually Hebrew here is. But notes ring, they call the Christians notes rings because what do? They keep watch. That is actually looking out, watching. But it doesn't do good enough. You have to do something than just see. We have to keep. We keep the word of the Lord. We keep Him in our mind and our heart and our soul, regardless how hard it takes. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your being. I'll tell you, that's a big price. Big price to pay. Just ask anybody in the world. Ask anybody in the world. Too expensive. For Cain, it was too expensive. For Abel, it was not. It was a good price to pay. And he paid for it. He paid the righteousness. What Cain hated was righteousness. The righteousness of Abel. The acts of Abel were righteous. The acts of Cain were unrighteous. It's the unrighteous that comes against the righteous. The righteous don't come out and come against the unrighteous. That's not their function. That's not what they're supposed to do. You, in your world, in your life, you're supposed to be a light unto the unlike people. You're supposed to be the salt unto the unsalted people. You're supposed to be, what else? Give me some examples. You know, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Abel was doing that. Cain wasn't. So I'm expanding this thing about him just not doing well. Over what we read on the surface, about, oh, he gave the offering of the field. Yes.
God appears to have, I mean, certainly got into this subject of getting killed for righteousness early on in the book, didn't he?
Very beginning tells you that. The very, very beginning. So I tell you, the first four chapters of the book of Genesis tells you everything, and from that point on, it's the actions that take place thereafter. From the fifth chapter of Genesis all the way to Revelations, the 21st. What's the 21st, 22nd chapter? Whatever it is. Very last chapter, really. The first four chapters tells you everything. There's not a thing in it that doesn't tell you. That's why God says, in the beginning, I told you how it's going to be and why it's going to be that way, because I'm running the show. Not the devil. Right? All we have to do is kind of do what Abel did. Do well. Do well. And that does not mean being a nice guy. That means do well in the eyes of the Creator of heaven and earth. Not in the eyes of anybody else, any organization, any thought, any man, any woman. That's what it's all about, right? So in the very beginning, it tells you what happened. Righteousness was to be destroyed. Now we'll get to, yes?
The question is, I don't have, you have the Hebrew. I'm looking at verses, Genesis 4, between 6 and 8, and it says, if not, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Is that?
It, meaning it. You desire sin.
Shall be its desire, then, you say, and not his desire.
Sin is a wonderful thing. People love sin. They need to desire it.
Okay, the question is, it says, and thou shalt rule over him or it?
Over it. Okay. Well, that doesn't mean he rules over in the sense of you thinking he should have power over. That means like a king has rulership over his citizens, he can do whatever he wants to do with them.
Uh-huh.
Now, Cain has rulership. We all have rulership over sin, and we can do whatever we want with it. And it has to do with the word desire. So he's desiring this rulership because it gives him pleasure.
Okay, all right, because it says...
It's awkward writing there.
Right. It says better translated, but you can have mastery over it, not him. But I kind of thought it was mastery over Abel.
No. This he's talking totally in that chapter, that verse, totally about sin, sin only. Yes.
The Hebrew actually says it.
It, right. That's the best way. Well, technically speaking, there's no word for it in Hebrew. So the verb has to agree with the noun. And I'm not going to go into that today. But in English, you have to translate back to the word it. Because that's sin is not a thing. Technically, sin is a female thing, or male thing, rather, in Hebrew. It's a word for male. But you remember the word for father?
Female word.
It's a female word. But when, and so literally translated, every time it says Abba, Abba said, you see, Abba, she said.
Oh.
You see, we're not trying to get into the realm of sex when you think of Hebrew language. It's the actions of that male and female word that tells you the function of and his duty thereof. Now we're talking about the Hebrew language, not sexuality. Oh, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to go to. I got a few more. I've got one more minute.
Another comment. You know how God says, "Where is Abel, thy brother?"
You'll get there. Go ahead.
We're getting there. Okay. God asked Cain's father was Adam. He asked Adam, where is thy wife, didn't he?
Nope.
Or
where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you?
Where are you, Adam?
Where are you, Adam? He was hiding. Sinners have to hide. Now, this is very fascinating about Cain. Now, remember what's stated here? Go back here. And the Lord God said to Cain, verse 9, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I do not, am I thy brother's keeper? Now, that keyed off. That was the key word. No more investigation needed. And this is what the Lord said. And he said, what?
What did he do? The voice. Now, the very important thing we pay attention to here. The voice of thy brother's blood cries out unto me from the ground. Not the voice of your brother, the voice of the blood of your brother. Now that gets into a closer connection, right? We're talking blood. Now, what do you think the voice talked? What do you think the voice of the blood said? And it really is in Hebrew, means it cried out. It's yelling. It's shouting loud. And he heard. What do you think? What do you think the Lord heard?
Murder.
I'm sorry, what?
Murder.
Right?
The murderer.
Vengeance? Jeff.
Justice.
Justice.
Oh, good word.
Justice. Okay, dude, this is what it said. Now, how do we know he said this? How do we know it's justice? Because God's therefore put forth the judgment against Cain. He put judgment against Cain. So the voice was shouting out, in a sense, what he said in that one word, justice. All right. The reason why we know that's what he yelled out is because what God said. Verse 11. I heard the voice of the blood cry out, yell out at me, shout at me, this is my judgment against you, Cain. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tills the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in all the earth. Now we read that and we say, oh, tough. Right? He deserves it, right? Because that's justice. Right? Okay, listen to what the Messiah said, though. The weightier matters of the Torah is justice, mercy, and faith. It starts opening up. And you got to have eyes to see, please. In the very beginning, judgment was given. Now, Cain says something. What did he say? These are powerful and powerful words which everybody in this room, if God ever said that to you, you would say almost the identical words. Okay? Have you ever transgressed against the Lord? Okay. We see Cain having lost what's called the strength of the earth. The earth no longer is going to yield forth from him. He also... Oh, wait, what's verse 13? This is what Cain said. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Now, do you believe it? Or you think, oh, no, piece of cake, I can handle that.
The earth had already been cursed.
There was nobody else. No place he could go. And when he says the earth, what? The earth will not yield its strength unto you. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? You stop to think about this. Mm-hmm. And he said, verse 12, verse 14, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. What does that mean? Pone, the face. The earth is no longer going to yield anything up. He can't look at the earth anymore for its strength. Because the strength of the earth now has taken up the blood of Abel. And that's going to be with him for the rest of his entire life. Now, the other thing is very fascinating here, because he says you'll be a vagabond, a fugitive. What's a fugitive?
Somebody who's running.
Someone that's always on the run. Why?
Because
Someone's out to get them. You're not a fugitive if no one's out to get you. Right? Always on the run. And a vagabond means what? You have no home. There is no home for you. The earth will no longer be a place where you can settle down and have a home and have a place. Now, he built cities. We'll talk about those cities later on. And what the name of those cities mean and why they are the way they are. But we're going to get to that later, not today. So I want to go here, and I want to say the second thing he said. Okay, the second thing he said. From thy face shall I be hid. Oh, never look upon the face of God again. So he was talking to God, right? He was communicating with God. And all of a sudden, God says, get out. And I shall be a fugitive and vagabond on earth. And it's come to pass that anyone that finds me, he will do what? Go on, he's going to kill me.
Why is that?
Why would justice that? Must be served. Now here we have something coming from God. Now watch the mercy. Watch the mercy that God gives. He doesn't protect. He's not protecting here. He's not keeping Cain alive at all. All right? He's only going to give him a mercy. And this one will give you. I'm going to put a mark on you. So anybody sees you, the curse will come upon them sevenfold. Wow. That's big, isn't it? Sevenfold. So what was Cain's? What was he cursed with? Cursed from the earth? If anybody kills you, Cain, this is my mercy I'm giving you. If anybody kills you, Cain, that person, the earth, will sevenfold not yield its strength unto that person. Did you notice that? Here's a judgment of God saying, do not take vengeance. Do not take vengeance. It is mine. I will pay. I will pay for the price of Abel. And if any man decides to take the life of Cain, which we have to hear the word of the Lord, right? You don't like his decision? Well, his decision is pretty tough, isn't it? So he's saying here now, whosoever kills you, seven times as much will take place. It's quite a big role. Seven times removed from the face of God. Because that's what happened to Cain. Right? We don't look at it as kind of mercy, but it really is. Because judgment will come. And Cain will receive from this thing a mercy. Because the mercy he's given here is surface mercy as we see it. Well, the truth is, he gave him a mark. We don't know what it is. Does it matter? Gave him a mark that kept him alive. That's what happened, right? Mm-hmm. Got a mark to keep him alive. And if anybody does that to Cain, that person does not get a mark to protect themselves from anything. Do you understand the mercy here? Now, we like to have mercy in our world of complete forgiveness. That wasn't going to happen until the righteousness of Abel's blood is justified or paid for or what do I want to say? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, I got to quit here. There is a... Oh, boy, what happened to my notes here? Genesis 12, maybe it's in the other edit section here. Hebrews. If I can get to Hebrews. Here it says... 12th chapter. Hebrews 12th chapter. What verse am I in?
24.
Oh. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What was Abel's blood speaking?
Justice.
Justice. Now with the blood of the Messiah, justice is finished for the death of Abel. He died for Abel as much as he died for anybody else. Anybody ever got murdered from any reason whatsoever, their blood now has got justice. How did it get justice? By the death of Jesus. Have you ever thought about that before? So I'm saying in the very beginning, it starts to lead us real quickly. Cain, Abel, we will resolve this. As I have promised your mom and your dad, from her seed will come and destroy the snake.
I'll buy you back.
Do you understand what I'm saying now? This is my viewpoint of things, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm saying, why, God, didn't you just kill him? Why didn't you just execute him? He didn't. He put a mark on him to keep him alive. Yes?
And it was a similar, those who killed the Messiah killed him because of his righteous life.
Correct.
That he kept all of the Torah, and it was the same spirit in them that rose up to kill
again,
Abel. And killed Yeshua. Exactly the same thing.
So regardless what you think about, we'll go in more detail when we get into the names of all the certain names that are listed in the book of Genesis there. But I just wanted to say to you today that I want you to try to look at it that, yes, the issue here is the blood crying out. Okay? And justice was put against Cain. And if, when we transgress against the eternal creator of heaven and earth, blood cries out, wants justice. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. You're guilty of the blood. And I know, I'm over time, just half a second. I know that this is my personal, Richard's personal thinking. An awful lot of mothers do not know that when they have put the death sentence on their unborn child, they face justice. That baby's blood is crying out. Blood speaks differently than words. Okay, I'm serious with this stuff. At the very same time, I know that it takes time. Now, we don't know how long Cain, how long Cain lived, but what we have is this picture of there's a point where God says, I'm put a mark upon you. What was the mark? The mark was a mark of mercy, not the mark of death. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So in the very beginning we're talking about, the very beginning of chapter 4, it tells you, yes, one of the worst, heinous crimes that we think of, and the Word of God says is, crying out to me, justice is going to take place. The death sentence now is upon you, Cain. And he says, I can't. This is more than I can take. He says, okay, I will grant you mercy. This is the mercy I will grant you. I'll put a mark on you so others will not kill you. And I will curse them sevenfold if they do. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying when I'm talking about justice, mercy, and faith? You know, Cain, though he ran and was never to ever have a home, always on the run, he had to come to a point to believe God. That God was going to protect him. That God was his keeper. Unlike Cain being the keeper of Abel, he had to learn that God was going to keep him. Not the way Cain would like to be kept, however. He'd like to be kept free of the guilt, free of the responsibility. But that didn't happen to him, did it? No, when we sin, we have to pay the price. Whether it's physical or spiritual, we have to pay the price. All right, this is it. I'm going to call it quits. Oh, I got one more thing, 16th verse. And Cain went out from the, and it says in Hebrew, the face of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod. We'll talk about that next week.